Welcome to After Hours with me, Rico. You know what that song's from? If you don't, you're going to hear it a number of times during this show because this entire hour is devoted to a Groundhog Day gala. And I'd like to welcome my first guest who is more than familiar with that song and more than familiar with Groundhog Day, the movie, and the town in which it was filmed, which is Woodstock, Illinois. Rick Bellairs, how are you?
Good, Rick. Good talking to you again.
It is always good talking to you. You, of course, and I can't, you know, it's the same way that people say, oh, you're Herman Cogan's son. You're the son of the legendary broadcaster that a lot of Gen people know, because he broadcast in this area for 50 years, Mal Bellairs, and you are as interesting and as smart and as fun as your dad. What do you think about
that? Well, not nearly, but I do get the question a lot about, was that your dad? Yeah, he was.
And it's a proud, I mean, I feel proud when people do that with me, too. Don't you?
I'm very proud.
You have lived in Woodstock most of your life. You went to high school there. You're still there. You're a real estate agent there. You know that town as well as anybody. A lot of people don't know. I think of you, Rick, as one of the stars of Groundhog Day in 1993.
And Bill Murray.
You did have a part in that movie, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but you don't ever see me. I mean, it's a deep background. Lots of the people you see in the movie are from Woodstock. When they brought the movie to town, they had a job application, a casting call. They were looking for people who were free for the next couple of months and could be in crowd scenes in the movie. And I was one of those in the crowd scenes.
How fun was it? How did it? I know that Harold Ramis and the cast and crew were there for roughly about 3 months. Did it just take over the entire town?
It really did.
Yeah.
The town of Woodstock, for people who don't know it, is a town square. And if they were filming on the square, then pretty much everything stopped except what they wanted to happen. And if they were shooting a scene where the cars were driving around the square, the cars drove around and take and another take and another take. Or if they were shooting a scene in front of one of the shops, like Ned's Corner, when Ned Ryerson comes up to Bill Murray, over and over again, they shoot that scene. And so, you know, people would come out if they knew where the scenes were being shot, and it was either people from the town who were the background people walking down the street, or it was just people from around town coming and standing across the street watching the filming. It was quite a community event.
And did it, I'm assuming that people from other towns, once they, you know, you couldn't, and let me ask you this, Rick Bellairs, there's no way that you and the other townsfolk knew that these characters, Bill Murray aside, in town for 3 months, were going to make a film that has had this kind of lingering, not just a lingering effect on the town of Woodstock itself, but on American moviedom. It has become this justifiable, I think, cult classic. You couldn't have possibly known, could you?
I don't think we even really knew what the movie was about. And just that, you know, if they were shooting the outside scenes, the prognostication scenes, where it's supposed to be the same day over and over again, if it was going to be different weather, they would go and shoot something else. So if you were in the crowd scene for the prognostication, you know, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, you get a call. And we didn't really know the whole story of the movie. And certainly, you know, 20-some years later, nobody expected it to be remembered as it is. I
mean, certainly
it was a quirky little local film that we took amusement with originally, but it really has become a classic.
Now, you never did, and forgive me for not knowing this, I should, you did not have any previously any kind of Groundhog Day celebration in Woodstock, did you? It was always Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. That's the only place I knew that did it. Right. When did you? Because now the Groundhog Day celebrations out there are considerable, aren't they? They run from roughly January 28th till February 1st, with Groundhog Day itself on the 1st. They run till February 2nd. When you're part of the committee that puts on, and it's a wonderful, wonderful array of different events. You're part of the committee that puts it on. When did you and the city fathers decide to take advantage of the success of the movie and start doing this?
I mean, it wasn't the city fathers. It was some locals, the editor of the Woodstock Independent, the head librarian, and a local merchant who had the filming in front of his store day after day. I think it was the first year after the movie, decided that they should have a Groundhog Day event. So my understanding is, there were maybe a handful, might have been a dozen people out the first year just to celebrate Groundhog Day. And I had been one of the extras in the movie and didn't even really know about the Groundhog Day festivities, or I didn't care at the time.
More likely, yeah.
Yeah. So sometime, it started growing and they started having the event each year. And let's see, my daughter was probably 5, so it's probably about 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
She and I entered the chili cook-off.
A Groundhog Day-related chili cook-off, right? Yeah.
So we cooked the chili and we entered the chili cook-off contest. And because she was just so darn cute at selling her or pitching her chili, we won the People's Choice Award. And as will happen with organizations like this, after getting involved, one of the members of the committee came to me and said, "Hey, would you like to be the coordinator of the chili cook-off?"
And knowing you, you said, "Well, of course I would." Yeah, yeah.
I did, and so the next year, I think I ran it with my two daughters then. And then I decided that it was way too much work to be in it cooking and coordinating the event. So for, I guess, about the last then 15, 10 years, I've been the coordinator of the chili cook-off, but have had a hand in some of the other events that do go on through the weekend.
Well, and that is, I'm looking at the community events that go on from Thursday, January 28th through February 2nd, and it's a wonderful, wonderful mix of, there's an awakening of the groundhog trivia, a wine party, a Groundhog Day dinner and dance, Groundhog Day the movie being screened at the Woodstock Theater, groundhog bowling. It's a very witty, clever gathering of things, and it has to be for you and the town. Not just, I'm sure it has over the years begun to draw bigger and bigger crowds, because it is
It is getting very big, yes. On the morning of February 2nd for the prognostication, we'll have hundreds of people standing out in the snow on the park in the town square at 7 o'clock in the morning for the prognostication. And through the weekend, we'll have several hundred people coming to see the movie that is shown for free and taking part in the other events. And we get people who come and stay at the what was the bed and breakfast in the movie, people coming from across the country to stay there. We've had people from...
When you have had, you've had people, you've told me before, there are also, foreign visitors who come in just to see that the bed and breakfast that exists there now, that was a private home in which you as a teenager used to play, that became the bed and breakfast in the movie that Bill Murray stayed in night after night after night. One of the great charms, and Rick, I'm going to keep you on all the way until about 9:45, because you have helped me organize this show, and we're going to take a little break and have on a man named Mark Zaffran of Animal Rentals. He's the guy who brings the groundhog every year, right?
Right.
I can't wait. And that takes place, the groundhog prognostication takes place at 7 a.m., on Tuesday, February 2nd, Rick Bellairs, you're the associate producer and co-host of this show tonight, because We both share an affinity for that movie and especially for that beautiful town northwest of Chicago. Welcome back to the Groundhog Day Extravaganza with me, Rick Kogan, and in Woodstock, Illinois, Rick Belairs, who was one of the stars of the film. I like to call you a star, Rick. I know you were just an extra, but the film, it's a legendary film that is really was the genius of Harold Ramis at work. One of the other stars of the film, and the star is certainly the star of the Groundhog Day festivities that take place there every year. The Groundhog Prognostication will take place Tuesday, February 2nd at 7 a.m., and the groundhog will be brought to the beautiful town square in Woodstock by my next guest, who's joining Rick Belairs, too, Mark Zaffron of Animal Rentals. Mark, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
I'm good.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Your company, and I want to... AnimalRentals.com is a fascinating, fascinating place. We can't get into it totally during this show, but go to AnimalRentals.com. You work for a neat place. It's my understanding, Mark, that during the filming of Groundhog Day in 1993 or 92, whenever it was made in Woodstock, that the groundhog bit Bill Murray twice, sort of severely. I had always thought of groundhogs as kind of pleasant, dog-like animals. I must be wrong, right?
Yes, you are wrong. They can be tough, especially in the wild. Never want to come across one. They're almost like Tasmanian devils here in North America.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
So do you pick a sort of benign one to travel with when you come to...
The one I have is a descendant from the movie.
Is that right?
Rodents, yeah, they are rodents, and they live about 10 to 12 years, somewhere on that range. And he's one of the descendants from the movie.
I know this is a very strange thing. The groundhog is basically the star of the prognostication. He either comes out or he doesn't come out. He sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow. Do the crowds disturb the groundhog? Is he even aware that he's the major celebrity on February 1st every year?
No, he's in semi-hibernation. Most groundhogs go semi-hibernation over the winter. So, yeah, it's kind of tough when he's waking up.
Oh, so it must be very hard on you, Mark Zaffron of Animal Rentals, to wake the guy up. It is a guy, right? It is a male groundhog.
Correct.
And then to stuff him into, what do you carry him in?
Just a travel crate.
Like a dog travel crate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what, do you feed him anything? That day must be, now that you mention it, Mark, that day must be so traumatic for the poor little guy.
It's not that bad. It's the only time he works.
It is. That's it.
Every year.
So he's like a racehorse who sent, he doesn't breed, does he?
Rick, I
no, he doesn't.
Story.
What? Go ahead, Rick.
I got to tell you a story. So I'm there usually in the morning before everything gets rolling.
Sure.
And the groundhog is for the present of prognostication. The groundhog is in a stump on the bandstand on the town square. And a couple of years ago, before the crowds got there, Mark was transferring the groundhog Woodstock Willie from the traveling crate into the stump where he would come out and make his stage appearance. Only he was feeling his oats that morning, and he was a little feisty and started doing a big squirm, flipping back and forth, and all of a sudden he was out of Mark's arms.
Oh, my.
And started scurrying across the bandstand on the square. And Mark dove and was sliding across the bandstand and caught the groundhog just before he went over the railing. And if he had cleared that, he's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. Mark, you have a fascinating job. You must deal with animals other than... just from your animal rentals company, there are other... This is a modest event for you because it's one day a year, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I work all year round. Whatever animals want to be present in someone's home or some school, I bring my animals out, entertain, educate kids, adults, all ages.
I think that's a lovely, wonderful, wonderful job. Does anybody else... Is there any other call for a groundhog? How could there be?
Not that I know of.
it's a one. What an incredible life a groundhog has. It's a one day a year event. Do you, before I let you go, Mark, and thanks for joining me, and I may call you to do some kind of story about your place. It sounds fascinating. You can go to Animal Rentals. Seriously, animalrentals.com. Have a look at what Mark and his company do. Do you, let me ask you, do you get nervous on that day?
No, I don't. I'm pretty used to it. I'm in the rock star. I'm the one to bring a groundhog. Everyone knows me. I'm very important, part of the whole thing. And I pull the groundhog out. I raise him up like Simba in The Lion King. Everyone rejoices, takes photos. I sit there. Everyone come up on the gazebo to see the groundhog. And because, it's a fun thing for me.
You don't have any groupies?
Not that I know.
Not that you'd admit to. Not that you'll admit to. Mark, it sounds like, thank you for joining us tonight. It sounds like a very cool thing you do, and I hope people give you credit when they know you. You're a star. You're a rock star.
On February 20 of the years I've done it. Wow. 20 out of 22. 1 year was at Tribune Tower, the other year was snowed out.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen this year. Good luck on February 1st, though, Mark. Thanks a million.
February 2nd.
Let's see. February 2nd. That's right. That's Groundhog Day. The prognostication is at 7 a.m. People can go to woodstockgroundhog.org to take a look at this list that I continually am mentioning here and see what Rick Belairs does, all the many things he does to put this whole thing together. There are people, you said the bed and breakfast is sold out for that whole weekend. It's the events aren't sold out, are they?
No, and most of the events are free.
And they're free,
or if they're
right.
Not free, they are for a charitable organization. And so the movie theater in town now has 8 screens, so there's always plenty of room for the free showings of the movie Saturday and Sunday morning. And the walking tour around town to see the film sites, the crowds get bigger and bigger if it's a nicer day, but there's plenty of room for everybody to come.
That's great. You know the interesting thing, Rick Belairs, is that, I know that your dad emceed the premiere of the movie when it was shown not in Woodstock but at a theater in nearby Crystal Lake, and I think there's some wonderful symmetry, and I know he's not alive, but I think he'd get a real kick out of the fact that you're sort of continuing this tradition. If you can hold on after the news at 10:30, thanks to you, we're having another of the stars in the movie, Stephen Tobolowsky, who played. And I've been watching this, Rick, over the last few days. He plays the insurance agent, salesman, Ned Ryerson. And that part is seminal to this movie, don't you think?
Oh, I do. I can't imagine anybody else playing it. He does a great job.
Neither can I, and he sounds like a wonderful guy. So you stick on the phone, and we'll get some commercials and some news, and we'll get Stephen on the phone. He's being so nice. He's out in L.A., he's shooting something and said, God, can I call you right after we're finished shooting for the day? And I said, well, that's very gracious of you. You are a movie star. We'll be right back. That's what movie that song was in and in and in and in. It's Rick Coogan, After Hours. On the phone with Rick Belairs, a native of Woodstock who still lives there and sells real estate in the area, and he was one of the, and don't say you weren't, Rick, one of the stars, maybe just in the background, of the 1993 film Groundhog Day. Another of the stars is, you may not know his name, Stephen Tobolowsky, and a la Mark Maron, you may not know how to pronounce his name. Stephen, welcome to the show, and I'm so grateful for you to do this. You have seen his face in hundreds of TV roles on Glee, Mindy Project, The Goldbergs, Deadwood, dozens of movies. You just finished. You're shooting something now, aren't you, Stephen?
This evening, I just finished a film called 50 Minutes, but the movie isn't going to be 50 minutes long. I promise.
You could not. And then you're originally from Texas, one of the rare Jewish fellows from Texas, a rare Jewish actor from Texas. You had just, your career had just started late 80s, mid 80s, when you got the role in Groundhog Day. How did you get the part of Ned Ryerson, insurance salesman and longtime friend of the character of Bill Murray? How did you get that part?
Oh, brother, this is, Rick, this is a story that kind of hurts.
Okay.
I was doing a movie at the time called Calendar Girl, and I was playing the part of a gangster who had a deaf-mute brother, and I had to talk to my deaf-mute brother in sign language the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I get this audition for a show called Groundhog Day, and I drive from the location of Calendar Girl 2.5 hours into Los Angeles, audition for Harold Ramis, come driving back. For the one time in my entire career, the one time the producers put me in a room with another actor to spend the night. Like they said, they didn't have enough hotel rooms. They put me and my deaf mute brother in the same hotel room. So we're on our separate queen beds.
Uh-huh.
And the fellow who was playing my brother is a great actor named Kurt Fuller. And he asked me, Stephen, what are you doing? Got anything coming up? Well, I have learned from experience that actors don't want to hear any other actor saying they have.
Of course not. I've got nothing. Yeah.
Nothing, man. It's nothing. So I said, Kurt, I got nothing. I'm going to open up a sandwich shop, I think. Call it Cliff. I said, you got anything coming up? And he says, well, actually, Stephen, I do have something coming up.
Oh, don't tell me.
I'm a friend of Harold Ramis.
Oh, no.
And he's written a part of this crazy insurance salesman, Ned Ryerson, in this new movie, Groundhog Day. Well, my brain was about to explode.
Sure.
I knew at this point in time, this story was not going to have a happy ending for someone.
Yes, for the friendship. Yeah.
For everything. I found out later I got a call back, which means you get a second audition.
Right, right.
I drove in from Kurt Fuller, and I drove in from our location into audition for Harold Ramis again. On the ride back, I heard that I got the job of Ned Ryerson.
Oh, my.
Kurt also heard from his agent that I got the job.
Oh, my.
And he was furious, as you can imagine.
Of course.
He felt betrayed. He felt hurt. Anyway, we finished shooting the movie Groundhog Day, and we had the big premiere in Westwood. And who was standing in front of the theater? Kurt Fuller.
Oh, no.
He said, Stephen, I'm going to watch the movie with you. And he came in and stood with me at the back of the theater, and we watched Groundhog Day. And the audience was just rolling with laughter.
Sure.
Loved it. And afterwards, Kurt said to me, you know, you got my part, but at least you did a good job with it. Congratulations.
That's,
and he hugged me, shook my hand, and walked away. And I thought, in my life, I hope to have the courage, the decency, the graciousness of a Kurt Fuller.
Well, and also, that kind of praise is more important, I would think, to an actor than any kind of award you might have won or would win. Maybe if you get an Academy Award one day for something, that'd be... But that kind of praise, it means more coming from a peer and a friend than
absolutely.
I think it does from the Foreign Press Association. Good God, I was watching that nonsense tonight. You could, Stephen Topolowski, but you could not, and you too, Rick Beller, by, as you were saying, by any stretch of the imagination, because the nature of the filming of a film like Groundhog Day must have been, you know, chaotic a bit, for lack of a better word, because it wasn't linear and there was no straight narrative. You could not have known until you saw the movie what a tremendous and lingering hit this would be. Could you, Stephen?
No, well, we knew about a week or two into it that the script we were working on was special. But
yeah.
You are 100% right. Until you see the finished product in front of a live audience and you see it transcend from being just a funny movie to a kind of magical movie that we think of now as a comic classic.
No question.
You can't imagine now. Now, I know we took over. You want to talk about chaos. We took over the town of Woodstock.
I know Rick was a teenager there at the time.
I've never recovered. I think it's never recovered. It's such a beautiful place, always a warm place in my heart. Changed my life.
Steven, you came back to Woodstock for Groundhog Day 10 or 15 years ago. I'm wondering, have you ever gone back to a filming location, to a place where you filmed?
No. And there are reasons for that.
Of course.
A lot of times, you have a lot of good and bad memories that soak in. And also, let's say you have a great experience, like on a film with Groundhog Day, and you go back and the place no longer feels mad. Yes, you're right.
And you can't recapture it. Yeah.
You can't.
But there is something magical, Stephen Topolowski, about Woodstock. I mean, I find it such, being a Chicagoan, to go out there, you were transported almost something back to a gentler time in this country.
It was a beautiful thing. When I went back there, they named the corner where Bill Murray steps in the big pool of water, and I go, look out for that first step. It's a doozy. They named it Ned Ryerson Corner, and we christened it. But I took the tour of all the spots in the city where it was filmed. And I got to tell you, it was a moving experience. I was kind of misty-eyed. It had a very strong effect on me.
Obviously, and I've looked. I mean, you have been in dozens, if not, it's probably hundreds of different roles. And that Ned Ryerson thing I rewatched the clips from the film. Not only are you brilliant, but it holds it all these different, and they're not different takes. They are different scenes. It holds together beautifully. That's a seminal role in your deep and rich career, Stephen Topolowski, and I'm sure you think of it that way.
Yeah, it made a big difference. Before Groundhog Day, people were saying, casting directors would say, I want a bald guy with glasses.
Right.
After Groundhog Day, they say, we want the bald-haired eyeglass guy who was in Groundhog Day. So it made a huge difference in that people started asking for me specifically by name.
Wow.
And it's paid dividends recently. Like right now, I'm 64, mm-hmm. which means I did Groundhog Day when I was, about 40? Is that right?
Yeah.
40, 92,
93. Yeah.
I did it in my early 40s. And what I have found is a late effect of having done Groundhog Day is that now when I go in to audition for TV shows or movies, I suddenly relax before I walk in that room and say, you know what? I've done Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
The odds are this movie, whatever I'm going to work on, is never going to be as good as that movie. So just relax and enjoy it. Enjoy the ride.
Well, Stephen,
so it's paid many dividends.
Well, your career has been a rich one. I know you're called a character actor, and there's nothing diminishing about that. So you know what it means? It means you're a steadily working actor.
Yeah, it also means that you never get the girl. I've learned that.
Stephen, I so appreciate your calling in. I'm going to get back in touch with you, too, because your career is a fascinating one. And the fact that, I knew Harold when he was in his late teens, and we became pretty friendly. And I cannot even imagine what it would have been like to work with him. And I'm gonna get in touch with you and have her remember some more intimate moments of that, because I really do think he was the most normal genius I think I've ever known.
Quite a genius. Yeah. I would love that.
I will do that, Stephen. Thank you so much for doing this and getting your very important 2 cents in for the Groundhog Day celebrations that are going on. And now I'll let you go to sleep, because all actors have to sleep. The Golden Globes or whatever these goofy foreign press thing is over, so you don't have to worry about it. And and get some rest.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. And Rick Billars, thank you so much for arranging all this. He's a lovely guy, just a lovely guy. And again, Rick Billars is a real estate. If you're thinking of moving to Woodstock, and you probably, I'm serious, and if you have never been there and visit, you can visit during Groundhog Day festivities by going to woodstockgroundhog.org or calling 815-334-2620. The website is better. You can see all the many things they have there. It's a lovely, if it's not, the roads aren't clogged and are plowed, and it hasn't really snowed much. There's so many things going on that weekend. You can bop in and out of town. You can meet the groundhog, Woodstock Willie, happens on February 2nd at 7 a.m. if you want to get up early. Rick,
for those who aren't familiar, you know, Woodstock's about 60 miles northwest of Chicago, just a jump off of I-90, but even better, the Metra Northwest train line, the stop in Woodstock is a block or two from basically all of our events.
That's right. No one knows Woodstock better than Rick Billars. Rick, I think your dad would get a great kick out of your continued involvement. I am ever grateful for your involvement. You're on the committee. Festivities take place from Thursday, January 28th through Tuesday, February 2nd. And it's if you've never been to Woodstock, you owe it to yourself to go to Woodstock. All sorts of charming stores around the square, restaurants, bars. Arlene Lines' great new bookstore, Read Between the Lines, and just, it's a joyful place, and there's something beyond charming about it.
Rick, I appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate all your help co-hosting.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I never thought I'd be celebrating Groundhog Day. I just like the movie, but now I am. Go to woodstockgroundhog.org for all the information you could ever need, and we will be back in a couple minutes. You're going to hear that whole song in about 2 minutes. That song is, of course, part of our Groundhog Day Gala, which is ending right now. We've hit on the guy who brings the groundhog to Woodstock, Rick Billars, who has lived in Woodstock and was an extra in the 1993 film. That film, as if you don't know, was directed, starred Bill Murray. We had Stephen Topolowski, who played Ned Ryerson, a very, very memorable role, the guy who's bugging Bill Murray and bugging Bill Murray and bugging Bill Murray before Bill steps into the big puddle. Here, the film's directed by Harold Ramis, who I've knew for many, many, many years and greatly, greatly admired. Here he is. I found a 4-minute clip of Harold talking about the film Groundhog Day, and it's from an interview he did in 2009, and it's only 4 minutes. Listen to the whole thing, and if you listen to the whole thing, then Aubrey Mumpower and I will play you the entire song. So here's Harold Ramis talking about what Groundhog Day means.
It's a metaphor for a lot of things, which was brought home to me when the movie opened. My producing partner, Trevor Albert, called me on Sunday. The movie opened on a Friday. On Sunday, he called me and said, there are pickets outside the theater in Santa Monica. And I said, what are they protesting? He said, they're not protesting. They're Hasidic Jews walking around with signs that say, are you living the same day over and over again? And then, call the Chabad, I guess. So then I started getting, almost immediately, my mother-in-law lived for 35 years in a Zen Buddhist meditation center to the end of her life. And I called her right away on the weekend, and she said they saw it. The abbots and the senior monks, she said they loved it. They thought it expresses a fundamental Buddhist concept. And then I heard from people in the yoga community that it was everything that they were about. And then I started getting letters from Catholic priests and Christian and Baptist ministers saying this totally expresses our philosophy. You must be Christians, obviously, because it's such a Christian, devoutly Christian movie. And then the psychiatric community chimed in, and said, obviously, the movie is a metaphor for psychoanalysis because we revisit the same stories over and over. We keep reliving these same patterns in our life, and the whole goal of psychoanalysis is to break those pattern behaviors. So I thought, well, that's an ecumenical response to this film. You know, it's got something. It's not just something for everybody. It's the same message. The film is the film. It does not change. But everyone obviously projected something onto the film. And it's the genius of Danny Rubin's concept. The script came to me already written. Again, kind of not really makeable the way it was written, but I rewrote it and shared screenplay credit with Danny. You know, I had some fundamental ideas about it that I think made it a more entertaining and more accessible film than it might have been the way it was originally written. As a Jew, I kept thinking that, people finding so much in this movie, every day someone says something to me about this movie, and a guy just said to me, oh, Starbucks clerk on 67th in Columbus. After he gave me my coffee, said, I just have to tell you, I watched Groundhog Day again just the other night, and I saw all whole new things in it, things I'd never thought of before. And my analysis my view of that was, I said, you know, it's like the one reason Jews respond to that idea is the Torah is read every year. Start at the same place on the same day. Every Jew in the world reads the same portion every day for the whole cycle, and then you start over. The Torah doesn't change, but every year we read it, we are different. Our lives have changed. We're older. We're different. We have children. We don't. You know, our relationships have changed, and you find new meaning in it as we change. So the movie doesn't change. I'm not comparing Groundhog Day to the Torah. It's more entertaining than the Torah. But and the Bible was not a good movie, John Huston's movie. But there's something in it that allows people to keep, every time they see it, reconsider where they are in life and kind of question their own habitual behaviors.
Isn't that interesting? I really, really love the way Harold Ramis describes Groundhog Day, which really is a classic comedy.